Are you looking for a unique way to support Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles? KPFK's vehicle donation program not only supports public radio, but it helps you get a tax deduction too. The process is easy. Just call 877-KPFK-AUTO. That's 877-KPFK-AUTO.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Sojourner Truth. I'm your guest, host, Mark Cofield. I'll be filling in this evening for Nana Jumphy. She'll be back next week. We're going to take a news break, and we'll be right back at you.
For Pacifica, I'm Lauren Schmidt. Organizers of an international flotilla carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza have announced plans for a new mission in March. Campaigners described it as the largest civilian-led mobilization opposing Israel's actions in Gaza. Activist Sumaira Akhtenez Ordu announced the plan during a live-streamed press conference in Johannesburg.
We are coming with the announcement that we will sail with, this time, thousands of participants, including more than 1,000 doctors, nurses, health professionals, over 100 boats.
Organizers of the Global Samud Flotilla are urging the international community to prevent Israeli forces from intercepting the operation. Organizers emphasize the mission is protected under international law. President Donald Trump shared a video overnight on his Truth Social account that promoted false claims about the 2020 election and included a racist depiction of former President Barack Obama. The one-minute video repeated discredited allegations that Dominion voting systems manipulated vote counts in the 2020 presidential election. In the final seconds of the video, images of the former president and former first lady, the first black occupants of those roles, were superimposed onto monkeys. California Governor Gavin Newsom issued a statement calling the post, quote, disgusting behavior by the president, close quote, and urged Republican leaders to denounce it. The president's lies about the 2020 election come as Trump has called for nationalized elections and refusing to rule out that ICE agents could be deployed at polling places. As thousands of visitors descend on the San Francisco Bay Area, Super Bowl week is drawing football fans' global attention and lingering fears of an immigration enforcement crackdown. However, the National Football League said this week that no U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement operations are planned for Super Bowl 60 or surrounding events. Despite that assurance, unease remains across the Bay Area. East Bay Congresswoman Latifah Simon spoke with KPFA News Thursday evening.
We have to hope and pray for the best, but organize for the worst, and that means taking care of each other.
Concerns have also been amplified by the Super Bowl halftime performer, Bad Bunny, whose show is expected to be largely in Spanish. His appearance on Sunday comes just 1 week after he won the Album of the Year at the Grammys, becoming the first fully Spanish-language album to receive the accolade. During his Grammy acceptance speech, Bad Bunny echoed sentiments critical of immigration enforcement.
Eyes out.
However, speaking at a press conference Thursday ahead of the Super Bowl, Bad Bunny said his halftime performance would not be political.
Because this moment, the culture, and that's what made this show to me make it special.
The NFL's halftime selection has drawn backlash from conservative commentators. Turning Point USA announced it would have its own, quote, All-American halftime show. The criticism has prompted responses from progressive lawmakers, including Tennessee legislator Justin Jones.
before you rage tweet, Bad Bunny's from Puerto Rico, and Puerto Rico is a part of America. They have American citizenship because of colonization, so I want to just give you some information before we see a few racist tweets. Secondly, I know some of you are going to be watching the bootleg Temu version of the halftime show that Turning Point and MAGA is doing with a man named Kid Rock. Kind of weird, he's a grown man named Kid Rock. But he has lyrics about liking underage girls, which is called pedophilia. And I think we should be a little uncomfortable by that. I know that's very common right now in the White House.
Following the release of 3 million documents related to the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, at least 4 separate countries have launched their own investigations. Christina Onestad reports.
The European nation of Poland is forming a special task force to investigate any sex trafficking links to the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, after files from the FBI show he discussed 2 Polish girls in an email. The nations of Latvia and Lithuania also said they will open investigations. I'm Christina Onestad, reporting for Pacifica Radio, KPFA.
All right. Okay, so today we're going to have a discussion on how some Black Americans view immigration and ICE. Touchy topic, of course. If you want to be a part of this discussion, you can call in at 818-985-5735, option 1. That's 818-985-5735, option 1. I live in South LA amongst many Blacks and Hispanics. A lot of opinions coming out from that side of town. Let me tell you mine. But first, I'd like to introduce my 2 guests who will be helping me out with this discussion. Andre Amir and Jerry Silver, are you guys on the mic?
Yes, I'm on the mic.
Okay, you Jerry, you there, Jerry?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Now, I'm going to give my little commentary in there. I'm going to let, you know, you all chime in. Okay, now, my personal view on ICE and the current administration policy is a total disgrace to the Constitution and America's way of life. ICE is kicking in doors without warrant, murdering, kidnapping, assaulting, robbing, and the list goes on and on. Some Black folks feel that the Hispanics had this coming because they voted for Trump 48%, which was a record, and that the chickens have come home to roost. All over the internet, there's back and forth of who's at fault to why these ICE demons have been unleashed in America's society. What I do is listen to all sides of the American population and try to formulate a rational reasoning to all this chaos. For those who listen to me on Think Outside the Cage, you know I was incarcerated for 28 years for a crime I didn't commit. One thing that I constantly preach on that show is how the system, this system, uses the divide and conquer method to stay in control. I always wondered, while I was incarcerated, how 100 prison guards could control 2,700 inmates. The answer is divide and conquer. It's that simple. The Trump administration has mastered this method. So now, Andre.
Hey.
You know, me and you talk about this immigration thing all the time. And you have, I want the listeners to hear how you felt back then and how you feel today. So how you felt and how you feel at this current moment. And then Jerry, you can chime in, you know, when he's through giving his little spiel.
You got it.
All right, Andre, let's go.
Okay. Well, initially how I felt, I was already in that place. So I didn't really like the over policing and overpowering people. But however, you know, there has been a long-standing relationship in the Hispanic community between us and the Latino people. I mean, preferably it would be more fair to say Mexican people, because we're in Southern California. So this issue is about discrimination. It's about policing. It's about racism. And it's about violence perpetuated on them right now, targeted towards them. So the question is what is our relationship when it comes to these subjects? How has it been between us and the Mexican or Hispanic, other Latino people, primarily the Mexican people, when it comes to those issues? Now, for a long time, the Mexican people have had an opportunity to be on the other side of the fence as far as with the foot on Black people, as far as the numbers is concerned. And how do they treat us? With discrimination. So first and foremost, you got to understand, if you're a Mexican person, if the United States government makes Hindu language the number one next language that you had to have a job, you would automatically see Indian people coming up working at the welfare offices, childcare, and everything, just like you saw the boom in Mexican people getting jobs, because of course your life, you've been speaking that language all your life. But there was no consideration towards that. That was a little bit unfair to us. Now, the discrimination, we've seen it in their policing, how we have sheriffs with badges and honor tattoos and stuff that have came out in the sheriff department. We see it in the Los Angeles County Jail. We saw it in housing discrimination lawsuits, where there are cities in Southern California that Mexican people said Black people couldn't live. And even city council members talking bad and being racist amongst for other poor people with taxpayer money. So, of course, you have people that feel like the enemy of your enemy is my friend. So there's a lot of Black people that were happy. And I was like, okay, well, somebody got to fight this battle. So when ICE came out and the Mexican people started getting that issue, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, I've been praying a long time for somebody to stop them, because I felt like they were going too far with us and they was not being compassionate when it was us, you know? And so, but when it comes to discrimination and racism and stuff like that, we already know as Black people that we can't make the feds our friend, okay? But there's really been no accountability. So with that being said, I'm going to explain how. When Black people had the crack epidemic and our young people were selling crack all over the place, Black people voted for laws to lock them up. Black people stood up and said, put the guns down. Black people voted for three strikes. When the terrorism when they come looking for you for something you did, they crashed, they was taking grandmothers' houses. No Mexican people didn't fight for that particular issue to say, hey, well, when they bust in your house, they felt like you brought that problem to your house. So if they came to your house with a batarang, that's what your family deserved, with the kids screaming and the trauma that came around from that. But there was some Black people that have did some wrong things to Hispanics, even with the recent taco truck issues. Black people stood up and say, no, we ain't going for that. Don't do to people like that. But we don't see that on the other side. However, I don't think that Black people joining with armed people that have hatred in their hearts, it would turn out good for us. I mean, I'm just not gonna lie. I don't think that we already seen that hasn't been good, you know? So that's how I feel now. And I don't like people's children being hurt. I don't want that. The number one relationship between Blacks and Mexicans in Southern California is intermarriage. It's not us killing each other. I got cousins, and the reason why they getting busted out so much is because there's so many people with Mexican mamas that look Black, and they talking Spanish and being racist in front of them, and they busting them out. So they got to learn that we closer than y'all think. And I think that, there's no place in the country, I'm going to close with this, there's no city, state, or nowhere that I know where Black people say Mexicans can't live. Never. There's no federal lawsuits of us bombing them like they did in East LA and all those places. There is no housing discrimination towards Mexicans from Blacks. There's no Black sheriff department with tattoos about murdering Black people. There is no Black people out here that prize themselves on being a Mexican killer. Not. They got to stop. And yes, there's a lot of black people that feel like they can be, they would prefer to be friends with the federals and the police instead of being friends with Mexicans after 30 and 40 years of that kind of behavior. And somehow Mexican people have, we have to find a way, if they want the compassion, to accept accountability and unify, starting with accountability. Because, I mean, you know, the compassion about your children and your babies and your quest for a better life. I mean,
okay. You, like I say, me and you, we have these talks, and there was at some point in time, you know, when we were having these talks, when that guy, I forgot, what's the guy named Ozzy, was killed in Minnesota. They shot the guy. He had the gun on him. I hate when I forget people's names, but, you know, sometimes that happens.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Pretty. Yeah, Pretty was murdered. You know, we both felt, you know, compassion for that guy, and we felt it was wrong. And I remember we had the discussion about what happened when George Floyd was murdered, and how all different ethnics came out and was supportive. And so I don't see it. No, me personally, I don't see it as an issue of race now. I see it as an issue of my constitutional rights, and I see it as an issue of we the people. I don't see Alex Pretty. Okay, thanks a lot, Ozzy. I don't see it as anything now, but nothing is that they trying to control, not the Hispanic, the black. They trying to control the population, period, and that's a threat to me. So I mean, thank you. I mean, you told how you felt, and that's why I want people to hear how some people in the community, in the black community, feel. You know, it's not everybody, but some do feel that way. And you guys are voters, and you guys, you know, and you have a right to your opinion. Okay, Jerry, you want to chime in?
I definitely do, but okay. I'm going to go out of the building. I'll be back about 10 minutes or less.
Okay, well, I don't know how much time you're going to have after 10 minutes, but, you know.
Really? All right, well, then let me just stop then. I think you said it when you said divide and conquer. You freaking said it all. That's how they've governed ever since. This question of borders is so, it's artificial. Let's create a border and let's hoard what we have and let's decide who gets privilege. And this is how they've run America ever since. Ever since. Mexico was stolen. It was stolen by the United States and then put, you know, you've got poor people in the same community struggling over the same crumbs. And of course, there's going to be discontent and looking at each other if that's the problem. Mark, you said it absolutely correctly. We're all playing dead here in the back game because they've got what they want.
Okay. So
if people understand.
Yeah, you kind of going in and out a little bit, Jerry. But I think the listeners okay. heard and got the gist of what you were saying. And so
okay.
I always bring up my prison experience because that appears to be the structure, the format of what they're using out here. And it's unfortunate that a lot of that yep. prison culture and that prison mentality have spilled over in the streets, because the same racist stupidity, ignorance I've seen in there, I see it out here. And a lot of people have came home from prison and taught their children these idiotic, ignorant ways. You know? And that has caused the divide and conquer out here, especially in the state of California. Now, you can go to some other states where it's not like that. But in California, it's really out here. I remember when ICE was in downtown Los Angeles. And, you know, we were sitting around talking. I was like, man, that's messed up how they doing them. And people that I've grown up with, it was like, man, but they voted for it. They asked for this. So why should I feel bad? I was trying to tell them at my job. Man, this ain't the man you want to vote for, dude. This dude don't care nothing about you. But they went, I always say the banana in the tailpipe, and now it's biting them. But for me, I don't care. I'm, a person have a right to say, I'm going to give someone a chance. But when you give a person a chance and they come in there and they unleash all hell, then I'm going to have compassionate for, because I would want somebody to have compassionate for me if it was me being treated that way. Now, to each is his own. That's why, you know, if anyone ever listens to me on Think Outside the Cage, you know, I have a variety of people coming in. Some people ask, man, why you let, you know, these guys call in? You know, some guys are MAGA, you know, some are progressive, some are independent, because I feel like everybody have a voice. And that's the problem with today. People feel like if you don't feel the way they feel or agree with them, you know, you should be shut out of the conversation. And I don't believe that. And we need to start talking. We need to start having conversation. No, about this madness. The 2026 midterms is coming. We have to start rallying and coming together and trying to put forth, you know, roadblocks for them trying to steal the election. If anybody's paying any attention, they went in Florida and they seized 700 boxes of ballots. They went into Puerto Rico. I don't know why they're going to Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico, I don't believe they can even vote for the president. But they went into Puerto Rico. So I think what they're doing, a test run. And it also may be a distraction from those Epstein files. Now, I could care less about the Epstein files. But for the people that have a passion for that, that's their right. My passion is for, you know, due process, democracy, my freedom, because I had my freedom snatched. And I say this all the time for those who have never had their freedom snatched away from them. Boy, you will. Man, when you don't have your freedom, well, you like, man, I took that for granted. You know, people could tell you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. That's not the American way. And that's what this current administration is trying to put down. You want to add anything to that, Jerry or Andre? Oh, they got off the line?
I'm sorry. No, I'm right here.
Okay,
no,
yeah. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would like to add that, you know, we, you know, the black, the, I mean, I'm here to try my best to try to get some light shined on us as a whole entire community. Because as long as we fragmented, as long as we fighting, you know, and as far as us as black people, I'm black, okay? But I'm a human too. I love Mexican people, right? But people got to understand, Mexico and South America is an entire continent, okay? Mexico is just like America. They have white European races. They have black people, Afro-Latinos, Afro-Mexicans. They have indigenous Mexicans. So I don't look at everybody the same. And so, no, because I saw people saying, I will vote for Donald Trump and all this stuff. I don't put that on everybody, man. I know everybody don't think and feel the same. What I'm saying is that if we can unify on the things that's keeping us apart, if we can have this many mixed kids, okay? Because as many as the black and Mexican kids I got in my family, and I personally never had a family member killed or severely attacked by a Hispanic person. So I don't have a personal vendetta or reason. I just kind of understand. And yes, when it comes to the politics and this and this, I think that if we can be compassionate towards each other and start to have a dialogue of understanding and show just a little bit of compatibility, I think that we will have a lot more strength in our basic humanity, because it's not an immigration issue. It's a human rights issue. That's what
there
it
you
is.
Go. Yeah, there you go. That's the key word. It's a human rights issue. I mean, as you know, my girl of 9 years was a Hispanic, and I can remember at her funeral, God rest her soul, that how, you know, some of her family was, you know, they was acting funny, you know, but that didn't bother me none because I loved her, you know, and I loved her daughters and a lot of people in her family, you know, and, you know, you're going to have those. And that's why when people say certain things, you know, about, oh, man, they this or they that, I push back against it because, you know, my girl didn't have a racist bone in her body, man. She loved everybody, you know, and she really taught me how to love everybody. Because, you know, when you're in prison for 28 years, you have a lot of those, you know, a lot of that institutionalism, you know, it sticks to you. You know, when you come home, you know, that, you know, it's a lot of trauma, you know, because you done been in riots and people have tried to stab you, take you out and all these things just because of the color of your skin. So when you come home, you still have some of that trauma, you know, glued to you. But she, you know, helped me navigate and get through society and say, no, everybody's not like that, Mark. You can't think like that. And so I see that you have a government that they have shrunk and fired. I don't know how many people and all kind of just crazy stuff going on. And they want to control 300 and some million people with hate. With fear. Oh, they want everybody to be scared. And that's what all this is about, to scare people and make you fearful. And I understand. I say, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, like I'm fortunate, but I'm almost glad I went through what I went through to be prepared for something that's going on right now. For these things that are going on right to today, I'm kind of like, man, I'm glad I know how to navigate through this weird, foolish stuff that's going on. You want to say something, Andre?
Not really, man. I'm just trying my best to wrap my head around things. Because I, like you said, it's easier when you have foresight. You know, some of this stuff I wouldn't have never believed, man. I wouldn't have believed that, to be honest, man. Growing up in LA, I wouldn't have believed that we would have had that relationship with Mexicans. My boxing coach was Mexican. That dude saved my life, dude. But I just want not to go, you know, too much on the differences between. But I'm saying, as far as I wouldn't believe that some of the stuff, if had I not been through what I've been through. But America is spend all this money on war. I always wonder what they're going to do with all these guns. Like, why they spend all this money if they got a nuclear bomb? Like, what is all these guns and stuff for? I was always wondering that. And by me wondering that gave me some answers and some foresight. And now seeing this unravel, It kind of is like, okay, when they start getting tough in America, you're going to use your guns to take from people. That's just how I see. And it's just sad and that people had to come to this and reelect this person and give this guy this kind of power to go as crazy as he want to go, man. And good grief. Like, who would have thought that it would have came to this? That's all I can say, man. Who would have thought that?
Well, I knew it. You know, I knew it because I always say that, you know, I've been, and you too, well, we come from the same community. So, you know, what I've witnessed, you witness, you know, and we've been around gangsters and thugs and thieves and robbers and even murderers all our life, you know, and, you know, I don't know if I was telling you or somebody else's, but I was saying, man, if I was still caught up into the gang culture, drug culture, and all that. I would love Donald Trump. He beat a homie. Straight up, he beat a homie, man. You know, I'm like, oh, man. You see how he did the drive-by on them people in the boat? Oh, man. Well, Donald Trump ain't no joke, man. He a OG. Man, Trump would be an OG, man. Man, this fool's crazy, man. Loco Trump.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, the reason I want to break in is because sometimes we miss the point that it's all about money. And I know we all know that, but we tend to look at, okay, there's differences in our nationalities. This group gets treated better than other groups, which is, I reinforce what Mark said. They don't care. They act like they care about white folks, but however, they have to divide. They have to have somebody at the very bottom. They have to do that, and they do that, and then they get the people at the bottom fighting each other, and that's some craziness. It didn't start with Trump. Y'all know that. Come on. It's been going on ever since, and Andre, you brought up the guns. There's a lot of money. NRA, National Rifles, they're powerful. There's a lot of money in military, in defense. They spend billions, and they justify it by people don't belong here. It's sickening what we buy, and we got to stop. It isn't about loving each other. Empathy is nice. It's about understanding that they're pitting people against each other and laughing.
Well, one reason why, Jerry, they are successful at doing what they do, like I said, I go back, you know, to prison. And one thing people don't do in prison, they don't communicate. They don't talk. You know, when they do talk, things always come out peaceful. When they don't talk and they just started doing the prejudging, or well, because he's of this ethnicity or that ethnicity, it must be true. And that's when, you know, riots jump off and things of that nature. The same thing, no open dialogue. And I agree with you, Jerry. No, they don't care. They don't care about anybody because, shoot, they killed two white people. Those was two white people they killed in Minnesota. A white woman? You know, and I believe, this is my belief, that when them ICE go to get the jobs, they check boxes. And will you kill this person? Will you kill that person? And they're like, they probably like check about, like, yeah, I ain't got a problem with killing somebody. Because for you to kill two people unjustly the way they did, and they were white, I said, oh, man, woo, boy, we don't stand a chance. Let us walk around with a slingshot. Out of here. Okay, I have a caller from Phelan. Carmen, you on the line, Carmen?
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, what's on your mind this morning? I'm in the morning. What's on your mind this evening? I normally do the show in the morning. What's on your mind this evening?
That's okay. Yeah, just listening to your program. Love KPFK. I'm a small contributor monthly. But, you know, I grew up in East L.A. In the 1960s and 70s. And my parents are first-generation immigrants. I was born in Mexico, immigrated with them when I was two. So, but this is all I know. I'm a U.S. citizen at this time. However, you know, there's a long history. You were talking about how they pit us against us. That's how this country has always worked, pitting one group against another, and this focus on corporate profits and capitalism only, instead of a democratic capitalism, social capitalism is very, very, eventually it all consumes itself. And from the inception of this country, one group of people have been pitted against another. Immigrants were welcome because they were cheap, easy labor throughout, but they were all, every racial group, every region has been demonized or exploited, yet they are the backbone and they are the what really built this country. And it really pains me to see you know, where we are right now after, you know, I was protesting with my family and with every group possible that you could imagine in the 1960s and 70s. And we were at Chicano Park when all that happened and all this kind of thing. But I remember the Black Panthers were the ones that started our food program, our breakfast program. And then the Latino groups also had their own groups, and they had their own programs, and they all kind of integrated and became part of the social fabric. But there's a lot more, we have a lot more in common that we do in differences.
Most
and
definitely.
In one way or another, we've always been hand in hand in these same movements. And then to pit us against each other, to use manipulative social media and rhetoric to distract from the destruction, the rape of this country, as well as the literal rape of people, which they've also always done, is just devastating.
Yeah, Carmen, I actually I agree with you. I agree with that. Like I said, no, divide and conquer.
Exactly. Divide and conquer, distract and destroy.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you. All right.
Did you want to say something, Andre?
Yes. I wanted to piggyback on the caller. She's right. The Black Panthers and the Hispanic Latino group, which were brown berets, that's the reason why they, and my understanding is, that was the first introduction to them calling themselves brown people. That's where them being brown come from, because of the idea of the fight for the struggle, the brown berets. They were the Black unification. They did the same thing. They fed the kids. They tried to say, well, fight for human rights and for self-defense, because they were going through the same things through the Zoot Suit riots and stuff. And to comment on the white guy. Now, the white guy, he had a gun. It's just like us, right? He had a gun, right? We live in a society where people feel like we supposed to have a gun. Now, white people believe they supposed to have a gun to protect themselves against tyranny, right? That's the whole idea of being able to have a First Amendment right in the Constitution. In case you have a tyrannical government who starts to order all kinds of illegal things to destroy the way of life that as they saw it. That's why white people have militias and guns and everything. So this white guy had a gun. But one of the things we got to remember is that those white people, he was out there, you know, I guess he believed in, you know, human rights. And he was trying to fight for it. And we've had white people fight and march with us, Martin Luther King, George Floyd, you know. I mean, for us to just say, yeah, that's what white people get. I know I might even take some heat from that, but it might sound soft, like I'm softening up on the struggle. But no, man, when it comes to the boots on the ground, whoever is out there with boots on the ground, man, get the full line of respect. It don't matter who they are. If that's something they fighting for, if you ain't out there, leave it alone. But the man had a gun because at this particular time, white people believe this is the time for them to protect their democracy. Now, for us, it's different. We still Black with a gun. It don't matter. So that's my comment, man.
Okay, you know, I'm gonna get to another caller. I have Gigi out of Pasadena. You on the line, Gigi?
Mark?
Yeah.
I sure am. Can you hear me, sweetheart?
I can hear you loud and clear. How you doing, Gigi?
Okay. I'm glad to catch you on a Friday. Here it is as quickly as I can.
All right.
Once
now.
Again, it's kind of the same old thing. The distraction, as everyone is saying, because Trump really has no power. They could take Trump out tomorrow, but they've gotten a fringe benefit with him. This man is insane, and he will do any and everything. I was listening to KPFK. I listen to it during the day, of course, all the time. Bruce Springsteen came out with the song. Song didn't mention what happened to George Floyd, but it mentioned in the song by name the Mr. Petty and Miss Good, may they rest in peace. But it songs about them. I just heard it went to number one. It's now number one in America. Once again, even that, okay. All distractions. We need to look behind Trump. If he don't wake up tomorrow, believe me, this is still going to go on. We just put so much. We're giving so much power. I wish we could say this that the Supreme Court And people saying the Republicans have no spines. What they have is $200,000 a year job. They get tons of money from everything, one from the Heritage Foundation on. It's not about the way that we are defining all of this is wrong. They're not spineless. They're just not stupid. They make out almost all of them when they leave Congress and everything and go to those to the jobs that they go to. They're multimillionaires. And so I just wish that we, you know, everything is Trump. And he, like I keep saying, he's just the clown that came to town. They waited on him to get here, to be born, and waited for someone just like him. And they got a fringe benefit because he's insane. Anyway, I don't like to let other people get in. Thanks, Mark. Love you,
okay,
babe.
Thank you. Okay, so what we're going to do, Jerry and Andre, stay on the line. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back at you.
Hang on to the world as it spins around. Just don't let the spin get you down. Things are
right. Someday we'll all be free. Donny Hathaway. Now, I used to listen to that song when I was incarcerated, and it would give me motivation. And just, I used to walk the track. You know, well, persons be walking them in prison yards around them tracks, around and around and around and around and around. You know, just thoughts. And that song empowered me to fight for my freedom. Okay, so Jerry and Andre, you still on the line?
Yeah,
still here. Okay. So, as always, you know, people have different views and different opinions, and what I try to do when I come on the air is respect all of them. Whether I agree with it or not, I feel like everybody deserves the right to say what they want to say. I've actually gotten complaints, as I said earlier, allowing a few people from MAGA to call in, and I debate them and I call them out on things that just sound stupid to me, what they say. But I allow them to come on because I would be no different from the Trump administration of trying to take away people's First Amendment rights by not allowing them to come on. I believe in freedom of speech. For those who listen to me in the morning and who complain about the people I allow to come on, hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm a constitutionalist. I really believe in the Constitution because I like my freedom. Chime in here, Andre.
Well, I don't know where we at right now as far as the conversation because, you know, like the lady said, it's always Trump, you know, but I think about the same thing what she just said, dude. It's like, what if he died? Because they be talking about he going to die and he ain't going to live. He got a spot on his hand and all kind of stuff. And I'd be like, man, it's kind of a scary thought. The people that's behind this guy with this same mindset. Like, here we are in the Jeffrey Epstein thing. Okay, there's a lot of white conservative people that believed that hate pedophiles or that believed that he was going to clean the swamp. Then his name is coming out in the slush of the swamp. So I don't know, like, how crazy, what's going to happen? Like, where are these crazy people hiding at?
Well, like, I believe, this is my personal opinion, and it's just my opinion. I believe that, see, you got to look at a pattern. You know, that's like, you know, when you're dealing in the court system, what they do, they look at your pattern and if you're likely to commit these acts again. And you have someone who has been accused of cheating on his wife with a porn star, grabbing females by the, by their private parts, doing all these different things. And then he's hanging out, chilling, lounging with somebody who was convicted of being a pedophile, as we say inside a chomo. And, you've been convicted, of doing things like this, through. You've been held liable for doing things like this, and now you're hanging around someone who's fooling around with children. So it's you can't tell me you didn't at least see it. And even if you seen this and you didn't say anything about it, you're just as wrong. You're just as guilty. So I think this is what this immigration and all this madness is going on. I truly believe it's a distraction, but it's a good distraction, because when you're murdering people, man, and you're kicking in doors without warrants, you're putting 5-year-old children in detention. Yeah, that's a distraction.
It's distraction. But you know what? We're all being distracted, thinking that Trump is the problem. He is not the problem. And the solution,
he's part of it.
But they've been doing this forever since, Mark.
Go back
in history, Mark. Ever since they've been doing this. The best thing that comes out of this is people uniting around a common cause. We live under a system where profit trumps everything. That's the most important thing. Money, not your welfare, not what's happening in communities and how children are suffering, but how money is being made. And so Trump is a representative of the same system that Clinton was, Obama was, Biden was. It's the same thing. And until people get together and not look at each other as enemies, you don't have to like the other person, but we're not enemies. We live under the same repressive system. We need to live under a system that we all get what we need. Well, our communities are endowed with everything, and not have some communities that are not endowed. And we know that. We know there's some communities that are suffering for lack, while others have too much.
Yeah.
So I just,
Okay, Jeremy, I'm going to get to another caller. I have, I believe, Loopy out of Los Angeles. You on the line?
Yes. Hi, how are you? How's everything?
How you doing? What's on your mind this evening?
It's just overwhelming. Everything is so overwhelming, and listening to your guests, it makes a lot of sense, but like Jerry said, it's come down to money. You follow the money, you get a lot of answers. And unfortunately, I don't know if you guys were when the leak, the Project 2025 was leaked, a lot of people didn't believe it. I believed it because I hate Trump. Since the first term, I'm brown, I'm Mexican-American. And honestly, I'm ashamed that a lot of my people voted for this person.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing. It is an embarrassment. And that these two people, these two men that killed those Caucasians in Minneapolis, it hurt me. It hurt me very much, because these people are fighting our battles, are fighting for something that we can't. You walk, you get arrested now. My daughter's out there in college, and she's very brown. She's a target.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate, you know, and I'm one of those ones that been on the air prior to Trump getting in this second term. And I preached and over, the man is fooling you, the man is this, but people believed in it. You know, I have a friend, and this guy, he diehard Trump, but he told me today, he said, man, I'm ashamed. I'm talking about Calvin, Andre. He's ashamed. I'm cowboy. He said, Mark, I'm ashamed I voted for this dude. I made a error. And that's all that we can ask for someone to do, that admit that they made an error and correct it.
Right.
So we have to. And I know some people, they have a certain view about voting and they don't believe in vote and all that. And this is what I ask the Hispanic people that I talk to. If voting don't make a difference, then why is this thing going on right now? It wasn't going on when Biden was in office. It wasn't going on when Obama was in office. It wasn't going with the Bushes. None of them unleashed these ICE demons the way this man have done. So, yes, elections do have consequences.
Yes, but you know what? At the same time, it comes down to being educated of who and what you're voting for. If you don't know what you're voting for, educate yourself. Ask people. Don't stay silent. Go and if you don't understand, you know, the whatever is out there on bills, go ask. Educate yourself on it. There's the internet nowadays. You can't blame anybody on the topics or on the laws that are passed. It's the person. And if you want to be that stubborn person, that conservative person, oh my God, we are in a lot of trouble because they don't open their mind to, like, outside of their own bubble. They don't want to open, they don't want to break their bubble. They want to stay inside their bubble.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. All right, Lupi, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to get to another caller. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, yes, thank you all the time, all the time. All right, I have, I believe that's Lynette from out of Los Angeles. You on the line, Lynette?
Yeah. Yes, hi, Mark.
What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my
call. All right.
Yeah, you know, it really strikes me as strange, you know, that we didn't, you know, I mean, we saw it coming. We African Americans and probably our indigenous community more so was more sensitive to the going on of the police state, you know, because we saw with the slave catching, it was slavery, broke up families, displaced families. We've been through it, you know, us African, and this is Black History Month, and to think that Trump wants to get rid of black, you know, anything, you know, the fact he got nothing but insults during Black History Month, you know, especially like to double up on it, and then they wonder where the young Republicans get it from. Well, it came from the older ones, right? Because remember them young Republicans was putting all these posts, you know, about black folks, about, you know, all kind of stuff. And then here come the vice president saying, oh, they're just young people, you know, and all this kind of crap. But anyway, so when we look at ICE right now, this is all about the establishment putting up detention camps. And when I say detention camps, we're talking about to the tune of $75 billion that they got, this detention industrial complex. So now we don't went from to slave catching and slavery, now we're going into outright Nazism and death camps. And we need to be sure about this, that we don't want to go down this road in the name of blaming immigrants for taking jobs and all kinds of other things, when we know that it ain't nothing but AI's taking all those jobs away. It ain't the immigrants replacing us. It's the robots replacing us. That's what's really going on. And so,
yes, ma'am. I agree with you.
And so we're going to have to really get a wake-up call, get a labor movement, a labor party, get all of our Greens, our independents, probably not this election cycle, and become one party, not all these little parties, and take over this stuff and make it where it's all worker-centered and human rights-centered, because, you know, this is our come-to-Jesus, this is our come-to-Jesus moment, for real. I mean, this is, if we don't nip it in the bud now, forget it, because corporate America and the oligarchy and the, you know, the tech bros and them, they already got this new wave of Nazism, fascism already set up, and it's with these detention camps. And it ain't just immigrants that's going there. It's Americans, people now, the people that don't agree with the program. That's what's going on. $75 billion. And this budget that they are talking about right now is to give them $10 billion more, which is unconscionable. They need to get rid of VHS and this ICE stuff altogether, you know, and just put in just, you know, a regular, what do they call it, comprehensive immigration, like they should have been doing. These Democrats and Republicans were kicking that down the road for a long time. And then when they finally got to a decision that they wanted to do something about it, here comes Trump saying, oh, no, don't pass the comprehensive. I don't know if you remember that.
No,
that,
I remember.
Because he wanted to use it. Remember, he wanted to use that as a political football like they have been. So here we are again. But we're going to have to make sure that this time around, this stuff don't happen ever again, because it ain't the British that's coming. It's the Nazis that are coming. It's 250 years. We
okay.
got to get our reparations.
Okay, Lynette. All right.
Slaveholders got there. All right. Get our reparations.
All right. I appreciate you calling in, Lynette. Thank you for the call. Okay. I have Fred from out of Orange County.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, what's on your mind?
Thank you for a great program. Two things. One, your guest was surprised about killing two white folks in Minnesota. Well, this is what Israel does to people who sympathize with the Palestinians. They killed a young woman March 16th, 2003. Her name was Rachel Corrie, because she was trying to stop the Israeli bulldozers from bulldozing a Palestinian home. They bulldozed over 100,000. You know, the largest open-air prison, Gaza, has had the equivalent of 6 Hiroshima bombs dropped on it. And this is with 2,000-pound bombs given by Biden and Trump. And Trump, you know, has received $235 million from the Israel lobby. This Jeffrey Epstein made his money. He started out working for Ehud Barak, who was prime minister of Israel. And, you know, and this is how he got started, closely tied with Mossad. The Israeli government and the U.S. government are so closely intertwined. You know, there's an extreme undercount of what the many people that have been massacred in Gaza, at least 20-25% of the whole population. And now Trump is in charge of the peace board. You know, they want to build hotels. His nephew Jared Kushner wants to make this the Riviera, and they just stole part of historic Palestine. They just do whatever they want. And the other thing that was mentioned by your guest, I think, is how you know, politics. They want people to be afraid, and politicians, when they run for office, they don't appeal to people's love. You know, you have to love one another. They always talk about you have to fear people, and this is how they get elected. And the authoritarian-type government we have, which is fascistic or leaning towards it, they always have to create an enemy to stay in power, you know, and become nationalistic. And this is what we have right now. And regarding Jerry Silva, I agree with what she's saying. It's been this way for a long time, but we've never had it so blatant in your face the way we have it now. You know, and please promote, you know, Think Outside the Cage. I haven't listened to it for a while. I'd like to know what time it's on. You know?
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I'm getting close to having to wrap this up, but I appreciate
okay,
you calling
you.
In. And for those, what I want to do is give some quick shout-outs. I want to thank my guests, Andre Amir, Jerry Silva. I want to thank Ozzy. I want to thank Gary Baca for allowing me this time, you know, to come on and put my spiel down. And for those of you who want to hear me and Jerry Silva, you can turn in every Sunday at KPFK 90.7 FM, Think Outside the Cage, 9 to 10 a.m. Jerry, Andre, you want to say something real quick? You got to say it real quick before we close out.
I want to say this real quick. I agree with Jerry and the caller, but I do want to remind people of something. We black, okay? So we always talk about slavery in this. The crack era, there was more violence. We saw 3 prisons explode to 30, 40 prisons. You know what kind of violence it take to fill that kind of capacity of prisons up? It was us, though, and brown people, too.
Okay, so, I got to cut it off. Okay, Jerry, say something real quick. I can't hear. Okay, with that being said, okay, I'm out of here. I appreciate everybody. Thanks for the callers. Thanks, everybody.
Are you looking for a unique way to support Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles? KPFK's vehicle donation program not only supports public radio, but it helps you